As we were just about to start the service, I heard the Lord saying to me, kind of, yeah, great message, Vic, not today. And that's happened a few times. And it's one of the scariest things as a pastor and teacher, but it's also one of the most exciting. I have prepared a great message, but the Lord said no. So I said, okay, what? So I've got a couple of scriptures and a couple of words. So there's today's message. We'll see where it goes. I've heard a couple of people talking as well. And I think the Lord's wanting to encourage a few people, especially in the area of healing, abundance, and peace. He's wanting to say this morning that we have all that. And that's there for us. That's ours. That's our right. That's what Jesus came to give us. So hopefully this will help a few people. If you're struggling with a few issues, or you've got someone that you love dearly who are struggling with a few issues and just haven't got that knowledge, hopefully I'll be able to impart a bit of that to you today. The Lord's wanting to say that you need to be living an abundant life, because that's what came for. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for the worship so far. I thank you for the testimonies. I thank you for the people that have shared this morning. I thank you for Reggie, for having the boldness to get up in a group of adults and teach us. Hallelujah. Thank you for that boldness. Thank you that she's standing on the word. And thank you that now it's time for us to stand on your word, to gather around your scriptures, to plant some seeds, to get these incorruptible seeds into our hearts. So I pray for open ears, open minds, willing to hear these seeds, willing to listen to these words that we're about to look at, willing to plant them in their hearts. And I speak our understanding for everyone in this room, for everyone listening online, for everyone listening on CDs. I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, because we know it is understanding that is the key to success. I know the enemy is waiting to try and steal these seeds, but I speak out understanding in the name of Jesus. Understanding so that we can really get these seeds growing and producing fruit, because that's what we desire. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So I really haven't a clue at the moment where we're going to go, but I've got a starting verse. And that starting verse is John 10:10. But I want to read a little bit before. This is a core fundamental verse that you need to understand as a born-again believer. This tells you what the enemy wants to do, and it tells you what Jesus has done. Did you hear that? I deliberately said that. This tells us what the enemy wants to do, i.e. steal, kill and destroy, and it tells us what Jesus has already done, provided an abundant life. Just popped in my head. You can't steal something from somebody that they don't have. I could go and steal that banana from Carol. Oh no, I can't, it's gone now. I can't steal a banana from Carol because it's not there. But when she had it in her hand, when she possessed it, I could have gone over and stole it. This is the thing a lot of believers just don't grasp. They don't grasp we've already got it. Peace, joy, contentment, acceptance, healing, prosperity. We've got all those things already. And the enemy is just trying to steal that from us. Too many of us are thinking we're sick people trying to be healed. Poor people trying to become rich. No, it's the other way around. It's we're healed people and the enemy is trying to put sickness on us. We resist him, submit to the Lord. He'll flee. Let's read the word. I probably will be all over the place this morning. No structure. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Who's the they? Us. But actually, not just that, everybody. Jesus came to bring abundant life to every single person on the earth. But if we accept him, we get that abundant life. We have that abundant life created inside us, ready to just be poured out. It's really quite simple. It's not an easy process, but it's a simple process. When we're born again, we get everything in our born-again spirit, and we just need to work it out. That's what that verse in Philippians means. Work it out with fear and trembling. Work out your healing. Work out your prosperity. Work out your acceptance. Work out your peace. Work out your joy. It's all there. It's already there. It's awesome. So what's this saying? I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. It says before that if we go in through Jesus, we'll be saved. That comes from the word sozo. Being saved is not just a ticket into heaven. You get that? You get a ticket into heaven. For most of the church, it's then a matter of waiting and putting up with all the crap that life throws at you so that you can put your ticket at the door. It's probably now got a barcode on it, this ticket, so you just flash it and then you just walk in. Peter's probably been done out of a job. Doesn't need to do any checking. Just put your barcode up. You've got your ticket. And then you go. Yeah, that's great. But that's not why Jesus came. Why did he come? That you might have life. That you might have it more abundantly. That's life when you're living. That's not life when you're dead. Now, yeah, as try to imagine what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. There's going to be no poverty, no sickness, no rejection, no depression, no bad things. But we can have that now. I know I don't like to use the should word because that's kind of getting into law. But when we're saying you should do this, you should do that. I'm not saying this. But this not just could be our life, this should be our life. That's what Jesus came for. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a great life. That's a productive life. Godly kind of life. But most of us are not living like that, are we? I've heard it already said this morning. Some people have the belief that God wants us to suffer. Where in the Bible does it say that? Tell you where it says it. Colossians 2 verse 8. Traditions of men. It's rubbish. There is nowhere in Scripture that it says God wants us to suffer. Jesus came, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say the same thing over and over again. Jesus came that I might have life and have life more abundantly. Let's just think, what does abundant life mean? You answer me. If you're thinking what an abundant life means, does it mean having lack and not being able to buy food? Does it mean not being able to go out because you're sick and depressed? What part of an abundant life is sickness, poverty, rejection, depression? Just think of it logically, not even biblically. Just be logical. We know what a good life means. Sickness is never good. Now, you may learn from it. You may take some good from it. But it is never good. Sickness is a curse. You know that? Sickness is a curse. Poverty is a curse. Well, Vic, if you look back in the Old Testament, God actually used those kind of things now and again. Yes, pre-cross, but always as a curse. Not as a good thing. Look up the list in Deuteronomy 28. See what the curses are. See what the blessings are. Sickness, poverty, the itch and the botch and all these kind of things. They're always curses. They're never blessings. I'll tell you what blessings are, is abundance and supernatural health and joy and peace. That's what the blessings are. You know, we know what's good, we know what's bad. We don't need to get into deep theological things here. We could get out the Ladybird Book of Theology. God is good, devil is bad. If it's good, it's from the Lord. Only perfect things come down from the Lord. James 1:17. And he never changes. What did Jesus come to do? There's another verse. Look up 1 John 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Remember that. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What did Jesus do when he saw a sick person? Da-da! Deep theological stuff, this. Guys, this is really deep. We don't need to get into the Greek or the Hebrew to understand this. Half-decent understanding of English is okay. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Look through the Gospels. I dare you. I will give you £1,000 right now if you show me somewhere in the Gospel where Jesus makes someone sick. No takers, because you all know it's not there. We could do it. I bet you £1,000. If you can't find it, you give me £1,000. Anybody up for it? No. He never, ever, ever made anyone sick. That is a perversion of the Gospel. It is never, ever his will for God to make anyone sick. Jesus came to save us, didn't he? That word sozo, do you know what that means? Make whole, heal, make well. He didn't just come to give us a ticket into heaven. He came to make us well. And how did he do that? By taking every sickness and disease and illness on a cross, on himself. Jesus suffered so that we don't have to. That's the truth. That's what the word says. We need to get on board with these truths, like Sean was talking about repenting this morning, changing our mind. We need to get on board and change our mind to these truths that are biblical. Guys, what I'm telling you this morning, it might sound a bit garbled and might sound a bit all over the shop, but I promise you, everything I'm talking about can be taken out of Scripture, can be shown in Scripture. None of this is traditions of men. This is truths from the Word of God. Jesus never, ever made anyone sick. Jesus never, ever made storms. We've spoken about this before. Remember when Jesus said, go to the other side, guys? He'd have been a bit more than a practical joker. He'd have been sick if he'd said to his disciples, go to the other side and then try and kill them on the sea. What did Jesus do with that storm? He went and calmed it. Jesus calms storms. He doesn't create storms. All this rubbish that we're going through in this life is not from the Lord to teach us humility and make us humble. That kind of teaching is a perversion of the gospel. Do you know what the meaning of the word gospel is? Good news. Nearly too good to be true news. It just sounds too good to be true. You mean there's loads of sickness out there and I'm not meant to be sick? Yes, that's the truth. You mean I'm not supposed to have any lack of resources? Yeah, that's the truth. You mean I can live in peace all the time? Yes, that's the truth. You mean I've got acceptance from God? Yes. Even when I know what I've done this morning? Yes. Shouted at a wife, kicked the dog? Yes. Still accepted by the Lord. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Yeah, but that was Jesus, Vic. Surely God's not like that. Well, here's another truth that most of the church don't know. Jesus is God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I can only do the will of the Father. I can only do the works that the Father showed me what to do. Guys, this is good news. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to feel depression. We don't have to be rejected. But Vic, I'm living under those things, yes, but we don't have to. We don't have to. We are through a lack of knowledge. Through a lack of knowledge. Through wrong teaching, through wrong understanding, through wrong interpretation of the scriptures. I was going to be speaking about false teachers this morning. I'm not going to go there. But there are times when we teach out of this word falsely. There are some of us who get it wrong. There's lots of different interpretations. Just go and... No, don't. I was just going to say, go and Google thorn in the flesh. But don't. Because the vast majority of what you get will be wrong teaching. Thorn in the flesh, people coming to persecute Paul, not sickness. That's wrong teaching. That's wrong doctrine. But it's a misunderstanding of Scripture. It's not deliberate. It's not people being evil. Not the most of the time. It's just wrong understanding. Completely wrong. So we need to rightly divide the word and get the truths that are in here. We need to get the truth that's in here. I've told you this story before, and it's very personal, how wrong doctrine is not good for you. Just before my dad died, he said, Jesus suffered, so I need to suffer. No, Dad, that's wrong. That's wrong. But he just couldn't get it. So I know where he is, it's fine. But wrong doctrine. Oh, we don't have to suffer because Jesus already has. One of the other verses I've got written down here is Galatians 3:13. Remember I spoke before about in Deuteronomy there's a list of curses. And there's also a list of blessings. But there's a list of curses there. Sickness, poverty, disease, all those kind of things. But if you look at Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ took all those curses upon himself so we don't have to. We don't have to be cursed. Now, however, wrong thinking, wrong speaking, wrong teaching, wrong doctrines will mean we put ourselves back under those curses or allow those curses to come upon us. We're not cursed anymore, as in we're not sick. But I know there's lots of us, hands up, who have problems with health. Why? Because we don't understand the truth 100%, and we're allowing ourselves to put ourselves back under those curses and let sickness come upon us. Oh, he says, oh, my fault, Vic. Well, yes and no. If you've been sitting here for a long, long time, probably partially my fault, because you've not been taught properly. But yeah, in a sense, it is our fault, because we're not taking responsibility for some of the things that we should be knowing. We're just going along, listening to the guy at the front, and taking everything he says as gospel. You need to go back and check everything I say. Everything you listen to online from these top-notch preachers. You need to take everything back to the Word to see if it's right. You and the Word and the Holy Spirit sorting out what's the truth, rightly dividing it. But if we put these verses together, he came to give us an abundant life. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And then if we look at what Jesus destroyed in the Gospels, we can see what's the work of the devil. I seem to be focusing quite a lot on healing. But in the Gospels, Jesus destroyed sickness. There's a word he used quite a lot in the Gospels when Jesus healed people. The word all. On a number of occasions you can look, Jesus healed all the people. All diseases. What? Every, all. He didn't miss out anything. And Jesus never refused to heal. He had trouble sometimes because of their unbelief. But Jesus never, ever, ever said to anyone, yes, I can heal you, but you know what? There's still sin in your life. So I'm not going to heal you. How many times have we heard that in church? You're not healed because there's sin in your life. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. There might be sin in your life, but Jesus has dealt with it already on the cross 2,000 years ago. sin's not an issue for God anymore. You do know God can't see your sin. And it's not that he's blind. You know he can't remember your sin anymore. And it's not because he's got memory loss. That's because he's chosen, I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. Every curse, you look in Deuteronomy, those list of curses. He's taken those curses and become that curse so that we don't have to. Part of abundant life is being healthy, having good thoughts, being not depressed, sound mind. It's being living in abundance. It's having enough resources to be comfortable and to give unto all good works. We are not meant to be cursed. And sickness is a curse. We need to get that through to people in the church. To our relatives who are saying, well, I must just be having to learn something here. God's put this on me. You know, it's like God's given you a sickness. How special are you? Yeah, let's start getting hard about this. How special are you that God would go against his written word? You must have something great in life to be going for, that God would make you sick. It's lack of knowledge, but in some instances it's pride. I mean, I'm special, God's made me sick. Well, if God's made you sick, learn your lesson, stop taking your medicine. Ooh. Folk don't like hearing that. God will not ever make you sick. Look at Jesus. If you want to see what God's going to do, look and see what Jesus did. Chris has already said, you know, I can only do the will of the Father. I can only do what the Father sent me. I can only do the works of the Father. I'm only here to do what my Father sent me to do. And God never made anyone sick. I'm going to say this. God cannot make you sick. God cannot put things on you, negative things, in order to make you a better person. Now, negative things come along. We can learn from them, yes. But they're never from him. The storms are never from God. Don't think a storm is from the Lord. Don't submit to it. We started off in John 10:10, didn't we? So contrasting what the enemy does and what Jesus has done. There's a verse in James that says, resist the devil, submit to God, and the devil will flee from you. So guys, we have to know what's from God and what's from the devil. And if we think sickness or poverty is from God, we're not going to get the submission and resistance the right way around. Hebrews 1 verse 3, look at that. I've said Jesus never put sickness on anyone. Jesus always healed people. Jesus brought people back to life. Your encounter with Jesus, unless you were a religious Pharisee, was always a positive experience. Okay? Always positive, always good. Jesus was a compassionate man, but he was also God. You look to Jesus in the Gospels, and you can say, if Jesus did that, God would do that. If Jesus didn't do that, God won't do that. How can we say that? Because Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. Not in exact words, but that's what it's saying. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So God is now speaking to us through Jesus. If we see the words of Jesus, that's the words of the Father, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is God because he was the creator, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God the Father. So if we want to know what God will do or won't do, we look and see what Jesus has done or has not done. Jesus calmed the storms. He didn't send the storms. Jesus healed the sick. He didn't make people sick. Yes, sometimes there were issues. He had to speak out healing twice for one guy. There was issues around unbelief. But it was never an issue with Jesus. It was never an issue of, I won't do it, I won't do this. Jesus went out of his way to meet people who needed him. Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He shouldn't have been. Good Jewish boy, he shouldn't have gone anywhere near that bit of Samaria. But no, he had to go and meet the Samaritan woman. She was a woman living in the depths of sin. Yet Jesus still went to see her. Guys, sin's not going to separate us from God unless we let it. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. So how do we know which is which? We look in the Word. And we have our deep, deep theology. If it's good, it's for God. If it's bad, it's for the devil. Now, God can use all situations, yes. I've told you guys before, I only came back to church and started on the road to leadership, to become a pastor and whatever, because of the Twin Towers disaster. Now, did God cause the Twin Towers disaster to get me back to church? How special would I be? Eh? How fantastic is my ministry going to be if the Father did that? No. That was the devil that did that, and evil men. But God used that situation, spoke to me through that situation, and hopefully, you might think, some good things came out of it. I mean, you're sitting here. Good can come of these things, yes, but God is not the author of disaster. He can only do good things. That's what James says. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's why I said God can't do bad things to you. He can't send trials and temptations to try and beat you down and stop your ministry to make you a better person. He can't do that. He'd be going against his word. And I think if God went against his word, this universe would just implode, explode, whatever you want. Jesus came, yes, to bring us salvation. But we need to get an understanding of what salvation is. Salvation is not just a ticket into heaven. Salvation is what we call here the sozo package. You look at that Greek word sozo, also tie it in with the Hebrew word shalom. God wants good things for us, and only good things. Oh, but why do bad things happen, Vic? I tell you why bad things happen, because God wants good things to happen. And if you come in line with God, well, we were talking about that this morning. If you come in line with God and start doing things that's going to improve you and increase your understanding in the Word so that you can see prosperity, you can see abundance, you can see healing, the enemy's going to try and stop that. It's the enemy that sends bad things. And other people. Other Christians sometimes who've just got wrong doctrine. Ourselves. You know, most of the problems that we have, was it last week we looked at this the week before? About being enticed by our own lusts. So we have those initial thoughts and then the enemy can entice us. He can't entice us with stuff we're not having thoughts about. Oh, you're blaming me again, Vic. Guys, we need to start taking some personal responsibility. It's not a blame game. But if we take some personal responsibility and really, I'm going to go on it again and get into this word, so that we can really understand it, spend quality time. Oh, it's going to take time, Vic. Yes, it's going to take time. Oh, it's going to take effort. Yes, it's going to take effort. But guys, it's so worth it. So worth it. I can look around this room. I know in my own life, I know people who have got into the Word, understanding the Word, and I can see their lives changing for the better. I can see it. I already had a chat with Chris this morning. I said, I can see fruit. Maybe not as much as he wants to see, but I can see fruit. You know, we all want it quick, don't we? Seed time and harvest. It takes time. We are blessed. We mentioned that this morning. How are you? Blessed and highly favored and deeply loved. We are blessed, not cursed. Poverty, lack, want, need, not being able to give unto all good works, not being able to finish a feeding station is not a blessing, it's a curse. We're blessed. Blessed, highly favored, because we're deeply loved. Jesus came to bring us life and life in abundance. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus destroyed sickness and poverty. You do know Jesus was a rich man. Jesus wasn't poor. He had a treasurer who stole from him. You can't steal what you don't have. Blessed and highly favored. We need to start believing that, guys. Because it's important. What we believe directs the root of our life. We've spoken about that quite a few times. You guys know that two of my favorite verses are, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to start believing the truths in this Bible. I may feel sickness, but I'm healed. Get it round the right way. Well, the Bible says I'm healed, but I'm sick. No. I'm healed. But the enemy's trying to put the sickness on me and I'm not fighting hard enough or something like that. I am not poor. I am not depressed. Start thinking that way. Start speaking it out. This is stuff we've covered all the time. I'm starting to ramble now. But it's stuff you all know. It is very important. Believe what the word says. Focus on it. Think about it. Remember, that's what Jesus said to the church at Ephesus when we spoke out about it in Revelation about 3 weeks ago. Go back to your first love. Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Focus on what he did. Focus on what we've been made as a gift of grace through faith. Focus on our true identity in Christ, who we are. Our true identity is a healed, prosperous, accepted, sound mind, joyful person. All good stuff. That's our true identity in Christ. But Vic, I'm feeling depressed. Yeah, you may be feeling depressed, but your true self has got a sound mind. But Vic, I'm feeling sick. Yeah, you may feel pain, you may feel sick in your body, but the true you, the spirit part of you, is completely healed. And just waiting and wanting to pour out into your flesh. How do you do that? By getting it through your mind. What you think, what you say. It is so important, all this stuff. You say, okay, I believe that, Vic. I believe John 10:10, that Jesus came to give us an abundant life. How do I have an abundant life? How do I have good things in my life? How do I have less sin? How do I have just better godly things? Well, look at 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It's a verse we know well in this fellowship. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Look at that. If you want to live that life, that's the same word. That abundant life. You want that abundant life. You want godliness in your life. You want an abundant life. This tells you how to get all the things that you need for that. There's that word again. All. You can have all that you need for an abundant life. That's what this verse is telling you. How? It tells you that as well. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who called us to glory and virtue? That's Jesus Christ. If we want to live an abundant life, here's the bottom line, folks. I've been rambling for a while. If you don't remember anything of today's message, remember this. Write this down. If you want an abundant life, that abundance is increased through knowledge of him. That's one of the most important things you're ever going to hear in your life. If you've heard that for the first time this morning, that is the most important thing you can hear. If you want to live life in abundance, that is made manifest, that happens through knowledge of him. What Vic, are you saying? If I understand more about Jesus, my life is going to get better? Yes, was the answer. And there are people in here that will testify to that. I can testify to that. It's a real coincidence. It's one of those coincidences in life. The more I understood about the word, the better things seem to have got in terms of health, prosperity, acceptance, sound mind. I don't know, has anyone else had that amazing coincidence? Yes. Coincidence in life? It's not luck. I told you this story before as well. Gary Player. Anybody heard of Gary Player? A very famous golfer. Yeah, South African. Yeah, you said that last time as well. Yeah. So Gary Player, brilliant golfer, won majors. He finished a tournament one time, and a journalist said, "Well, you seem to be quite lucky today, Gary." And Gary said, "You know, it's one of those funny coincidences. The more I practice, the luckier I get." The more he practiced and knew about the game and understood the game, the better he got at the game. If we want to be better at the game of life, it's through knowledge. And not knowledge that you can get at a university, although I'm not degrading that, I've got a degree. But you know what, a degree in maths hasn't really improved my health. You know, that degree in maths, yeah, it helped me get a job and it helped me get on in life, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't fundamentally change my life. Knowledge of this word fundamentally changed my life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, 1 Corinthians 15:34, fundamentally changed my life. When I knew I was righteous as a gift of grace through faith, no matter what I'd done, and I was a bad boy. The day I realized I was righteous, I became a different person. I was transformed in a step change. You know, most transformation takes a while. But sometimes you get those transformations, like a step change, when you really understand something, when you know and you know and you know, and you've got it deep in your heart, and it's just bubbling up that God sees you as acceptable. That's what righteous means. No matter what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done, that will change your life. I guarantee it. If you want to live a more godly life, less sin in your life, come to the awareness that you are righteous, no matter what you've done. Oh, where does it say that? Like 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. If you realize that fundamental truth, that as a gift of grace through faith, we have been made righteous, we'll see less sin in our lives. That's a knowledge thing. That's not a trying thing, not a striving thing. That's a knowledge thing. And it's the same way in having other things manifest in our lives. It's a knowledge thing. The important thing in this Christian life is not what we do, but what we know. Because your actions, what you do, is determined by what you know. A lot of people don't realize that. Your actions are determined by what you know, what you believe, what you understand. See, if you know and truly know you're righteous, and how you became righteous because of Jesus Christ suffering on the cross, you will see less sin in your life just because you believe that. And if you understand the love of God, how much he loves you and what he's done for you, you truly understand that, you'll see a difference in your life again. If you really believe that you have been forgiven of everything, even the sins you're going to do today, tomorrow, next week, if you understand that you've been forgiven for all them, those sins that you were going to do that you've been forgiven for, you won't do. Just by understanding, believing, truly believing, and speaking it out, I've been forgiven. That won't push you to sin, that'll push you away from sin. Well, I've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. This Jesus, who was a man but fully God, went on the cross, bled, suffered, and died so that I could be forgiven. Well, actually, I don't want to do that sin anymore. Once you understand the love of God, you get drawn away from sin, not towards it. Just because you've been forgiven for everything doesn't mean you want to go out and do whatever you want. If you truly understand that, if you really believe it, that'll change your life. That's another example, a basic truth that if you understand, it'll change your life. And it's all from the Word. We need to rightly divide the Word. We rightly divide the Word, we change our mind, what's going to happen here, and that leads to transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've spoken about this before, transformation in this sense is always for the better, isn't it? Does a butterfly ever go back to being a grubby caterpillar? No. Does a beautiful, wonderful frog ever go back to being a cruddy little tadpole? No. Transformation is always for the better, metamorphosis. So, sum up, Vic. Jesus came to bring us life and life in abundance. The enemy wants to steal that away. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, the works of the devil. If you look at the Gospels, you can see the works that Jesus did. Therefore, you can conclude that those are the works of the devil. He destroyed sickness. So sickness is the work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy these religious systems that are binding people up. That is the work of the devil. Jesus came to bring freedom from all that bondages of religion and the law. He also came to get rid of the curses of the law. See, back in the day, in the Old Testament, you had to fulfill the law or you were cursed. You became sick, you became poor. We don't have to deal with that now because I've told you, Jesus became a curse. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I only know one person who hung on a tree for me. That's Jesus Christ. He became cursed. He dealt with it all. So we don't have to. Guys, we need to start believing this. And we need to start telling our friends, and family, who are still blinded by ignorance in this area and thinking God's making them sick. Take them to those scriptures. Show them what Jesus did and then take them to the scriptures that tell you that Jesus is God and that Jesus can only do what God the Father wants to do. And show them that, I'm sorry, you may think that, but that can't be true because of what scripture says. It's all in here. But you need to spend time with the scriptures. You need to spend time in scriptures. I love it that you come on a Sunday morning, but that's not enough. I'm good, but I'm not that good to get enough knowledge into you to change your life. I can give you a kickstart. You can come to Bible school. You can come to Bible study. You can read my big book, Beginning in Grace. That'll all help you. But it's down to yourselves if you really want to have a positive change in your life. Ask yourself this question. Don't say yes or no, because I'm hoping you all say yes. Do you want to live in abundance? In terms of healing, acceptance, prosperity, all those things that's providing the social package. Do you want that? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. Seriously wrong doctrine. Well, actually, no, I would quite like a thorn in the flesh. Maybe people don't consciously think that. Some do. I spent time recently at a completely different type of course with an American pastor who, in order to become a pastor, had to make a vow of poverty. He couldn't become a pastor unless he said, I will live in poverty. So where did you get that out of your Bible? I'll tell you where he got that out of his Bible. Colossians 2:8. Traditions of men, vain deceits. That's a man-made thing. God sends a storm. They're all man-made traditions reinforced by the enemy. I'm happy to discuss any of this with anyone at any time. I love debating the word. Let's not argue, but I love debating the word. There is nowhere post-cross in New Covenant scriptures telling you that God will make people sick and God will kill you. God smote Herod post-cross. Yeah, look in the same passage. God smote Peter. Smote is just nudging. Peter had a different mindset. He was set free from bondage. Yet Herod ended up with maggots. There's nothing post-cross that will show you God sending people sickness or killing them. Ananias and Sapphira. You may shout. There's nothing in that passage that said God did it. Nothing. It's a tradition of man. Learn to rightly divide your word. Take time in the word. Listen to good teachers. But you need to get into your word. Look at John 10:10, Hebrews 1:3, Galatians 3:13, and 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Look up what the word sozo means. Look up what the word shalom means. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus didn't do. Transfer them onto God. Folks, we have a good God. He wants the best for you. He has thoughts of peace for you. He has a plan for you. And it's all good. As a church, we really need to start believing that. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.